Sue and I took a walk earlier this week and ran into an evangelist. For real. And the guy knew about salvation, and he knew about being filled with the Holy Ghost. And right now he's preaching up at Bandamere Speedway. I don't know how they do it. They weren't going to have an assembly other than you stay in your car. But we can pray for the man. We kind of felt like Aquila and Priscilla in a way when we ran into this guy who found Apollos there in Acts 17, I think it is. And Apollos knew of the coming of Jesus, but he didn't know of his death, burial, and resurrection. And he only preached the baptism of John the Baptist. But he was very eloquent in words, and he had there were people who would listen to him. It's Acts 18, 24 through 28 is what I'm referring to. And he was mighty in the scriptures, knowing only, like I said, the baptism of John the Baptist. So Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and brought him up to speed and brought him up to date and introduced him to Paul's gospel message. And he went out from there fully equipped to preach Paul's gospel message and became one of the church apostles. Now, I thought about that this morning as we were awakened by a motorcycle guy going 100 miles an hour down Florida, down past Kevin and Julie's house, where they've had three people killed in the last year going 100 miles an hour down Florida. And it was a loud motorcycle and couldn't get back to sleep. And I was praying for this man in this Sunday school today. And, you know, last year we didn't have Sunday school on Sunday. We had it on Friday night. We didn't have Easter service here because of the pandemic. And 2 years before that, Tammy Ireland did her Seder dinner presentation. So it's been 4 years since I've done a Sunday, Easter Sunday school. And I want to do today a little quick refresher about the Passion Week. And I was trying to focus a lot on what Luke had to write about this. But we'll mention a couple of points about this. And if I don't get through this today, that's fine. If you guys want notes on this, send me an email or come see me, and I'll make sure you get notes. The four gospel records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they have 25 and a half chapters of the 89 chapters that are in the four gospel records devoted to what we call the Passion Week. And if we want to know the real story of what happened that week, we can stand here and read all 25 and a half chapters, but we'll be here a while. And so we'll do a real quick history refresher about the Passion Week. Without a doubt, it was the most important week in the history of mankind. This was the week that Christ died for our sins and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, as is told in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. I'll have you turn over to Matthew 21. And the first day of that week called the Passion Week is what we call Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey with a colt beside him. And remember, our pastor, Jesse Odorsio, pointed out how the colt was for his bride. a reminder to us of the Bride of Christ, who during this church age is being prepared to rule and reign with him as his joint heir wife at the conclusion of this church age. She was the ultimate joy that was set before him as he endured the cross later that week. But I'm getting ahead of the rest of the Passion Week story. This Palm Sunday story is recorded in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 17. Also, it's recorded in Mark 11, 1 through 10. Also, it's recorded in Luke 19, 29 through 38. This is talking about Palm Sunday. And it's also recorded in John 12, 12 through 19. And you can study all of those together to get a true picture of what took place that Palm Sunday. We'll read Matthew's record, and the other gospel records will give other additional details. I had you turn to Matthew 21. We'll read the first 11 verses. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage and to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Sion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded him, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now, stay right there in Matthew 21. And I want you to follow closely what the scriptures tell us. And what we just spoke about happened on Palm Sunday. Then in Matthew 21:18, we read, Now in the morning. So if it's Palm Sunday and then we read now in the morning, it would be Monday morning, correct? And all that was written from this point on in Matthew 21:18, all the way through Matthew 25 happened on Monday of the Passion Week. Now turn to Matthew 26. 1 and 2. So this would, all that we just talked about happened on Monday. Matthew 26, 1 and 2. And it says, And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he saith to his disciples, this was on Monday, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. So here we find Jesus had said, after 2 days, he said this on Monday, which means after 2 days could only mean after Tuesday and Wednesday, bringing the crucifixion on Thursday. Now, Scott's explained this in his class. Brother Hill used to explain this. I've explained it before. But you know, the Jews reckon a day from sunset to sunset, whereas we, following the Roman calendar, we reckon a day from midnight to midnight. Thus, Thursday begins at sunset on Wednesday and fulfills Exodus 12:6, where the Passover was between the evening of Wednesday and Thursday. In Luke 22:15, go ahead and turn there. This is one of the things that Luke wrote. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples here, Luke 22:15. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And then, jot this down, study Mark 15:25. And we see that at 9 the next morning, which was Thursday morning, Jesus was placed on the cross. Now go to Luke 23:33. And the events of Luke 23:33 happened at this hour. This is on Thursday morning. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. You might want to underline the word Calvary. This is the only time you'll find it written in Scripture. Isn't that interesting? But remember, Luke wrote a lot of things that are only found written in Luke or the book of Acts, a lot of unique things. He's the only one to use the word Calvary, and he uses it this one time in Scripture. And yet, we're all very familiar with the word Calvary, knowing that that was the place where Jesus was crucified. And we sing songs at Calvary and things like that. Matthew, Mark, and John use the Hebrew word for Calvary, which is Golgotha. And in John 19:17, it says, and he, Jesus, bearing his cross, went forth into a place which is called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Luke called it Calvary. Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary. And it's interesting, and we've mentioned this before in our studies, but we'll bring it together here this morning. The word cross, you're all familiar with that, the cross. That's why we're here, Easter Sunday, to celebrate the fact that Jesus died on the cross and rose again 3 days later on Easter Sunday. The word cross is found mentioned in 28 times in Scripture. 28 is the number that points to eternal life. Jesus was crucified upon the cross of Calvary so that we could have eternal life. Thus, the work Jesus finished upon the cross of Calvary gave all who believe on him eternal life. And I'll read some things here. Go to Romans 10. John the Baptist said in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This taking away the sin of the world is what happened on the cross of Calvary. We all know that, I think. Jesus opened up heaven for you and me upon the cross of Calvary. The day Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary would have to rank first in importance of all the days in the history of man. That'd be number one in importance. The day he rose from the dead 3 days later after his death on the cross would have to rank almost, this is important, wouldn't it? a very close second, being equally as important. Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary and rose again the third day, and in this process gave us eternal life. Paul wrote in Romans 10, I had you turn there, Romans 10, 9 and 10. This should be a familiar scripture to all of us, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The greatest day in any man's life, your life, my life, in your own personal history, is the day he or she or you or me believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for their sins and accept him as their own personal Savior, believing that God hath raised him from the dead, as we noted in Romans 10, 9 above. For me, that happened when I was 6 years old, and I remember that. Some of you, it was later on in life. Some of you, it was earlier. But you knew the moment you got saved. It's been a long time ago, some of us. So rethink about it. Now, we've obviously skipped over a lot of information that is found in the 25 and a half chapters of the gospel records, that even of the events that we've looked at so far concerning what took place during the Passion Week up to Thursday. I'll have you go to Acts 13. And again, Jesus was crucified on Thursday. And the Passover that year was on a Thursday. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, in part it tells us, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. That was the Apostle Paul writing to you and me. Jesus was crucified on Passover, for he is our Passover. Now, you know this, but Luke not only wrote the gospel according to Luke, but he also wrote the book of Acts. And in Acts 13, Luke records one of Paul's sermons, one of his pattern sermons, what I like to call it, because I think he kind of preached along the same outline the first time he ever preached in a synagogue in the cities that he came to. But in this case, where he was preaching was at the synagogue in Antioch in Pisidia. And the Apostle Paul references some things that took place during the Passion Week. And it says in Acts 13, 27, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him, that's speaking of Jesus Christ, they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in concerning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when he had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, that is another term for the cross, and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. Now, go to John 2. You don't hurt you to do a little bit of turning in your Bibles. One of the things I always appreciate about the cross is that Jesus held that together. He planted that tree that became the cross. He knew what was going to happen. And that was maybe hundreds of years before. We don't know. You know, think about that. And when we have these blizzards and keep us from church, It's God watering his trees. It's his trees. Somebody's got to do it, right? Thank the Lord for all that. Think like that. Think of him all the time. We need the moisture. So early on in Jesus' ministry, he began teaching his disciples about his death and his resurrection 3 days later. But you know, they were all worried about where they were going to go eat after the service, you know, things like that. And so they were there, but what did they hear? And we're here, and what do we hear? I listen to some old CDs and some old tapes, and then I hear myself playing on the piano afterwards, and I says, you know what, I was there. How come I don't remember all this? Right, Linda? But we were there. Did we hear? Maybe we didn't hear maybe as much as we should, right? That's all of us. So starting in John 2, very early in Jesus' ministry, we read the following words which Jesus spoke after driving the money changers out of the temple. And we start in John 2:19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was risen from the dead, on that Easter Sunday, that first Easter Sunday, his disciples remembered, finally, that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So perhaps this was the earliest time Jesus began teaching his disciples of his death and resurrection 3 days later. I want you to go to Luke 9. There are at least three more separate occasions where Jesus told his disciples he would be killed and raised to life again after 3 days. And I'm having you go to Luke because we've been studying about Luke in our Sunday school lessons. And so we're not gonna miss out on that this morning. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples in Luke 9:22, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Now, later in that same chapter, verses 44 and 45, we read a second account. And it says, let these sayings sink down in your ears, into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. You want to embarrass yourself by asking a dumb question, right? So you don't. And it wasn't a dumb, would have been a dumb question. So, but after reflecting on it for years and then writing these things down and telling Luke about it, they thought, you know, we weren't paying that good of attention like we should have been. Mark 9:31, it records this same account this way with a little different words. And I hope you were in or listened to the Wednesday night Bible studies the last couple of weeks, because Mark, John Mark, the same guy that was profitable at the end of Paul's life, profitable to Paul for the ministry. And says in Mark 9:31, is how he records that same account, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. What I want you to get here He told them now on two different separate accounts that he was going to be crucified, essentially, and raised from the dead on the third day. Go to Luke 18. Here's a third separate time recorded for us in the gospel records. And it's also recorded in some of the other gospels too, the same event of how Jesus once again told his disciples of his death and resurrection. And here's how Luke recorded this, Luke 18:31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. Now, his disciples, they, verse 34, understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. So let's put what we've said so far in this Sunday school Passion Week service into perspective. We have noted that Jesus was crucified on Thursday, and we gave the scriptures that prove this very thing. I'll have you go to Matthew 12. And I want to see something that Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees this time. Matthew 12, and we'll read verse 38 through 40. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, it was a great fish, but it was also a whale. Okay? That's where you read it. Jonah was swallowed by a whale. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So we understand this. Let's do some simple math. Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures, on Thursday, and was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, meaning Thursday, day one, Thursday night, night one, Friday, day two, Friday night, night two, Saturday, day three, Saturday night, night three. Jesus being crucified on Good Friday is what we call fake news, okay? According to the scriptures. The eighth day of the Passion Week, that would be the first day of the week, which is Sunday, which we call Easter Sunday. Is the word Easter found in the Bible? Yes, it is. Acts 12:4. Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. The word Easter is found one time in Scripture. It's in Acts 12:4. You can look at that, okay? Oh, yeah, it is there. Oh. Okay. So that's the only time you'll find the word Easter in Scripture. Okay, now that you've seen that, go to Luke 24. David had us going to Luke 24 this morning. And, you know, it's a good idea to read all this. Luke 24, 1. We're talking about Easter, the first Easter first day of the week. Luke 24:1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And we went over this. Three different occasions he told them this very same thing. Verse 8, and they remembered his words. Oh yeah, he did say that. And verse 9, and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Jesus was very patient with his disciples. And go look in the mirror. He's very patient with you and me too. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulcher, stooping down, and beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departing, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass. In Luke 24, verses 13 through 48, some of which David read this morning, it explains some more things that took place later on that first Easter, the eighth day of the Passion Week. In verses 13 through 31, we find Christ, the risen Savior, appearing unto the two Emmaus disciples, and that's another unique story of Luke. And he revealed himself unto them before vanishing out of their sight. And again, let's read starting in Luke 24:32. And this took place that Sunday evening, Easter Sunday evening. And they said one to another, this is the Emmaus disciples, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures? And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. Now that's the first record we have that he had appeared unto Simon, who's Simon Peter, okay? Apostle Paul mentions it in 1 Corinthians 15:5. Where he had appeared unto Cephas, he says. Verse 35, and they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, and Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposing that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, if ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Is this a fourth time, fifth time, sixth time? How many times have they heard this? And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of all these things. So this truly ends the story of the Passion Week. But the work Jesus finished upon the cross that week was just the beginning. 50 days later came the day of Pentecost, spoken of in Luke 24:49, which says, And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And Luke records this in Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. I got one more paragraph, but I'm not going to read it. If you want a copy of my notes, come see me or email me.